I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
What's going on, guys? It's bringing another episode of Bogey or Better podcast to you guys, coming in hot. I am Dylan, and we got Cam with us. Cam, how you doing?
Good. I got a full beard. I got a camping beard. I'm growing right now. It'll be gone soon, but yeah, we got back from the mountains, and it was great. It was nice to be away from everything, and I did miss out. Like, that was, let's see, 5 days with no golf. I gotta admit, it was a little tough. I brought a chipping mat and my wedge, and like,
oh, nice.
I have a net that's got various parts on it with points and stuff to chip into. But I just never ended up using it. I don't know why. I just really enjoyed staring at the fire for hours, and that's basically what I did this week. So I'm gonna be educated today on what happened this week.
I like it. Which mountains did you go to?
We were in Table Rock. It's not too far. Yeah, it was like 2 hours from here. It actually was warmer than it should have been. It was like 75-78 degrees at like the hot point of the day. It no, you think October, like late October, it would be colder, but
yeah,
it just got some sort of heat wave or something. So it normally I like to be when as hottest as like 65, and then at night it's in like the 40s because you can be by the fire all day. We still had a fire going, but we kind of sat away from it, and at some points we had to even sit in the shade because it got a little toasty. We did a little hike. I'm not at the point where I can do like that giant Table Rock hike or comfortable doing it, but hopefully maybe next year or something, if we go do it, I'll be there. Because it was nice. It actually, I had more signal on the hike than I did even at the campgrounds. Like, I had nothing. I had to turn my phone on airplane mode because it was just continually searching for signal, and it was killing the battery. So I was like, all right. So I was on airplane mode for 5 days. So I've only within the championship this week or any golf related news has been what I've picked up the past like 12 hours. So I'm interested to see from your perspective and vantage point what's been going on.
Yeah, I watched a good bit of Zozo. It was a slow day at work Friday. So I literally watched Tiger's whole round at work on the laptop.
Was Friday his better round, right? His turnaround day?
Yeah, Friday was his turnaround day. It broke my heart, really, because he did not play well Thursday.
Yeah.
He shot 4 over Thursday, but then he came back Friday and shot a 6 under, and man, if he could have just held it together Thursday, I think this would be a completely different tournament. Because I think if he gets a taste of that, of close to the lead, and you know, he starts to smell blood in the water a little bit, I think he could really go for it. But it's just too late. Justin Thomas is at 19 under.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when he set himself up so poorly the first, it's not a difficult course, it seems like. No, from the from the scores right now, and I mean, to start off where he did, even 6 under, then that only puts him 2 under, and then everyone else is like 12 under. Yeah. Right. That was after Friday, so he had to have just magnificent rounds.
Yeah, if he could have just shot 1 or 2 under on Thursday, it would have been, I think it would have been completely different. But yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. I will say he is swinging the club in a way I've never seen Tiger swing it. And I've actually been waiting for him to do this because I thought if he does this, he could play for a lot longer. And it is just, it's just so smooth and slow the way he has been swinging this week. It's completely different than what I've usually seen him, because even during all of his back issues, he was still swinging the club hard. Like, yeah, he was still rotating hard. And I think maybe now he's just, you know, kind of swallowed his pride a little bit. And it's like, all right, let's swing a little smoother, a little slower, and let's not try to kill the ball.
Yeah, play a little more accurate.
Yeah, and I mean, it's working. It's working now. It wasn't working Thursday, but it's working now, and it's a very nice, smooth swing. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play in some more tournaments, hopefully with that swing, because I think he could play on the tour for another 7-8 years with that swing.
Yeah.
But Justin Thomas is just, you know, he's doing his Justin Thomas thing.
Yeah.
He's pounding it off of the tee. And I mean, his irons and wedge game and putting, you can't beat. You know, he has the form and the short game of what he is, which is a third generation golfer.
Yeah.
You know, he's just been, he was born with a club in his hand and has spent his childhood at the nicest country clubs and having the best coaches and the best practice sessions. And it just shows. He was meant to do this.
Yeah. When he's able to get off the tee consistently, it's pretty difficult to stop him. He's very similar. When all of the facets of his game are firing, he's like Dustin Johnson. Basically, he's just unstoppable. There's no one that can catch him because he has incredible distance for his size off the tee. And then, so if he's putting it out there, his wedge game and putting are phenomenal. So. Yeah. If he can get off the, I mean, that's kind of what we say about young Tiger, young-ish Tiger, mm-hmm. Is if he was able to get off the tee and in the fairway, you weren't beating him because every other part of his game, every other part of his game was better than everyone else's. And, and now with the focus on the long game, the accuracy deviation is getting bigger. So players are more apt to take longer distances and not necessarily have the best lies. You know, if they can be 100 yards in or 100 yards closer, but they're in the rough, is that really worse than 100 yards further out but in the fairway? You know, it just depends on the player. But Justin Thomas, man, if he can, when he puts everything together, there's really no stopping him. Who's in second?
John Rahm, he shot a 9-under yesterday. He is nipping at his heels. He's one back from Justin.
That's somebody who could beat him, though.
Oh, definitely. If Rahm's putting is on, definitely it's gonna be a close day today for sure. I'm very excited about Tiger's threesome. It's Tiger, Phil, and Matt Wolf.
Really?
Yeah.
When do they tee off?
They tee off, I think, our time, 2:30.
Okay.
So and, 11, and they're 11:30 just, their time.
So they're just basically going to be able to play. They're not in any sort of, like I said, I don't know even where anybody is. None of them are in contention.
They're all three on at 3-under, tied for 68th.
Oh, okay. So they're just going to have some fun.
Yeah, they're just going
to. They're playing for a higher paycheck, basically.
Yeah, I think Phil and Tiger will be, you know, talking at each other, and I think it'll be fun to watch.
I hope. Is it a featured group? I'm sure it's got to be.
Mm-hmm. Right? It definitely is, yeah.
And Matt Wolf is an interesting golfer, too, so that's not a...
Yeah.
I'm not really upset about that. It's crazy.
I mean, he's... Matthew Wolf is 21.
Yeah, he's younger than we are.
I think he's a couple years younger than us, and I mean, that's got to be... And insane. Just he's grown up watching both of these guys, and now he's playing with them both, and that's just got to be an insane feeling. I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's got to be not only weird to do, but then when you to have to go out and hit balls like in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think Matt Wolf is a tailor-made player, right? So I mean, he's obviously hit balls in front of Tiger Woods before, but on a Sunday round. He's in his red shirt. I mean,
oh yeah,
Phil's flexing his calves. It's Phil's, I mean, that
all black.
That'll make anybody quake.
Yeah.
And he's already got that ridiculous swing, so I just can only imagine them going back and forth. Because, you know, like you said, they're not really in contention, so it's probably going to be a little more of a relaxed Sunday. Not necessarily like a practice round type of relaxed, but, you know, they're not going to be probably a shut off from each other as they would if they were, you know, five shots back or something like that.
Right. Yeah, Matthew Wolff's swing. I saw a guy yesterday. I played Saturday yesterday, and there's a guy that was in front of us that was swinging just like Matthew Wolff, just that circular motion. It was really, and he was hitting it pretty good. Like, it was funny to watch. But I played yesterday, and I shot a 78 at Chartwood.
Yeah, you sent me your scorecard. That back nine really saved you, huh?
Back nine was really good. There's something going on with my swing, with my irons. The club face is just open. I don't know what I'm doing. My swing feels the same, but I'm missing everything to the right. Everything is missing right.
Which is odd because you usually draw the ball anyways.
Yeah, it's really strange. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I may have to make a phone call and beg our local celebrity pro, Jimmy Kuza, and get him to help me. If y'all don't know, Jimmy Kuza actually taught Dustin Johnson in high school. And he's kind of a local celebrity here in Columbia. He runs a course out in Chapin, and he's a very good coach, but he is also very expensive.
Yes.
But it's definitely worth the money. He's got to be the best coach in Columbia, maybe even South Carolina. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he's given...
he's got the track record to show. He's become an excellent course manager, too, because I did just play the course he runs, and they paid him good money to come and fix their course. Because Timberlake was a high-end course. Up in Chapin, it's a high-end area. It was public, but the top of the high-end public range, in my opinion, right? That's what they were charging.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, there's a lot of construction around, and it was just going downhill. I don't know, maybe if some members dropped off, but it was not what it used to be. And then they were let's get Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, you know, my in-laws live in Timberlake.
Yeah.
And apparently they just sold a lot of their woods, like around some of the holes, to a development, and they're building houses on it. And a lot of the residents in Timberlake do not like that. And a lot of them are moving, including my in-laws. My in-laws are thinking about moving.
Oh, really?
So a lot of people are moving out of there because there's also a middle school being put up on that long road. I think it's Amex Ferry. And they're putting a middle school there, so there's going to be more traffic. And I just think that the older, you know, mostly it's old people that live in Timberlake, and I think they're kind of getting fed up with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because so, that location,
if anything, it's going to keep, yeah.
That location is set up behind, like, town. I mean, you're in a small part of Chapin. You got to go, and you pass some country to get to this course and their little community. It's great for them, but like what you're saying, adding all these houses and traffic, and it's not set up for traffic. It's a two-lane country road. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be way more construction than just houses. They're going to have to expand roads, add more lights, and when that comes more developing, because that area is underdeveloped and it's worth a lot of money. So
yeah. It's right by Lake Murray.
Yeah, it's just going to happen.
Yeah. But that course always had so much potential. I mean, the 18th, you know, right on Lake Murray, the best view of Lake Murray on a golf course around here.
Beautiful.
And so it has a lot of potential, and I think Kuza was the perfect guy to get it going. I'm excited to play there. I used to not like it because I just could never shoot a good score there, but I've got a score to settle with them. So yeah. We'll get out there. It's a tough course.
Yeah. There's no good lie out there. Everything is below your feet or above your feet. And that really makes a drastic difference because you feel like you don't ever have just a nice stock shot to hit.
Right.
No matter what you have to do, no matter what the shot, you're always slightly tinkering with your stock swing. And that can be very difficult to do, 10 holes in, and you're just, it's a course that makes you overthink, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I played okay, but none of us played. We were playing our Captain's Choice tournament, and none of us played our normal score because it really messes with you. It's not like the flatter courses in the area.
Right. Yeah, so I may have to give Jimmy a call because he gave me a lesson a few years ago, and it helped so much. It's an hour lesson, and it helped so much. So I don't know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not, I'm not good enough to figure that out, really. So I need somebody to watch me and who knows what they're talking about and tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's going to be something really small.
Yeah. Because besides that, I'm playing great. I finally figured out my short game again.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I figured out what club I need to be hitting and what swing it is and what practice routine, pre-shot routine I need to be doing. I'm back chipping with a 56 degree. That is
nice.
That is what I will be using, and I've got that figured out. I hit some great chips yesterday. My relationship with my driver is back. When I switched to the M6, it just took a little bit, but I figured it out, and I am just as confident as ever.
Nice.
Over the tee now with my driver. So yeah, it's just my irons that are really just kind of playing with me right now, so I need to figure that out. But overall, it was a good round. I shot 6 over on the front and 1 over on the back, and so shot 78. And Dad played really good on the front nine. He had 2 birdies on the front nine.
I saw that. I was like, man, he's... And then I saw his back nine, and it kind of...
Yeah, he shot 45 and then 56.
I saw it. I was like, double bogey, quadruple bogey.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, 6 over and 3 holes. It's yeah. Or no, that's 8 over. Not 6 over, that's 8 over.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
It happens.
He just doesn't play golf that much, It's just, he plays, this is the most he's played in probably years.
Yeah.
But
he has that such a pull type swing. He aims so far right.
Oh, yeah.
And then comes so far over the top.
He gives himself no chance to cut it. It is going to either pull, draw, or something.
Yeah.
It's not going to go right.
It's so crazy.
But it was a fun day. And, again, we got stuck behind, like, 2 groups that were just awful. And they took their time, and they just it kills me. Me and Dad could play 18 in, like, 2 hours, and it took us every bit of 4 hours to play.
Oh, that's no fun. Especially with 2 people, you don't need 4 hours.
Yeah, it was really killing me. But
Charwood's been getting really slow lately.
Yeah, and they're kind of working on that. So what's the owner's name? Debbie?
No, it's Amanda.
Amanda. She actually on Saturdays now and Sundays she will sit at the first tee and make sure that no one takes a mulligan. And the rule is you play the best ball off the tee on the first hole. Just kind of speed it up, but. They really need to go ahead, and all they need is 3 grumpy, retired golfers that, want to play for free somewhere, and get them on the carts and just drive around and tell people to hurry up.
Yeah.
That's all they need. They just need 3 rangers, and they can just swap shifts.
Really, even because on your weekdays, you could just have 1 that keeps driving around. Yeah. And on your big, like, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, have a couple out there because it's a short course, so it shouldn't take that long.
But, really shouldn't.
But I think a lot of people play that course because it's easier. That's and it's cheaper. That's where most of your lower grade golfers play too. So it just takes a lot longer. And because it's short, you can't always hit. When you have to wait till they're on the green, like actually on the green. There's no chance. Even on those par fives, sometimes like they'll be hitting their third shot, and it's like we really don't know if we can hit yet because. They're not great. So they're not going up and just, they know what to do. It just takes a long time. But I've played a couple different courses. I haven't played Charwood in a good little bit. Do you know where we're playing?
The greens were lightning fast.
Oh, were they? Did they just cut?
Lightning fast. I guess. Cause I mean, I was shocked. Like it was like Berkeley Country Club in Moscone Corner. Like just lightning quick, man.
Sometimes that's fun, though, because I feel like you can really really hit a good line putting and chipping. Sometimes when it's really slow, you just hit it super hard, and it honestly can sometimes not matter the line you pick because you have to hit it so hard.
It took me a few holes to figure out the speed, but after that, it was nice. They're really taking care of their greens. I mean, even that really bad one on three, it's looking a lot better.
Yeah, it's like three step green, and on the steps of them is where it's bad. It was bad, which is probably just due to the way the green is maintained. I'm sure just when they cut it, I'm sure it cuts it a little too short because it's like sideways. But you said so it's coming along.
Yeah, it's looking a lot better. They're definitely putting money into it.
I'd be fine if we played there for our round two tournament.
Yeah, we've got that 2v2 Captain's Choice with Tony and Adam. Not this weekend.
The 7th. The
next weekend, the 7th of November. And I think we're trying to play Ponderosa in Leesville.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But Tony hasn't gotten back to me with that yet. So we can play Charwood, or we can play, you know, Cobblestone or Golden Hill, something like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with either. I just know that after our first tournament, that especially because your handicap is now what, like just over 5?
5.4, I think. 5.3.
Mine is not that. I'm like a 9 to 10. And Tony's better than Adam, it seems like.
I think.
Consistency wise.
Tony can just pull out some really good shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that might have just been a good day for Tony. I'm not sure, but I mean he's consistently hit some pretty good shots, but Adam apparently has been putting in some practice.
That's what I've been hearing
a few times, and he's putting in some work. So I think he was a little hurt by himself. the last round.
And I don't blame him too, because I mean we were right there, and I was doing everything I could. It wasn't like we were horrifically outnumbered. You know, I mean, you guys had your putting. We won't talk about that anymore. We're not going to talk about it.
We can talk about it.
No, I'm done talking. But I know he wishes he had played better, because there were times that even just a putt or just putting something in the fairway would have helped. But it don't, I mean, it was, we still had a good time, and it wasn't.
It
I mean, so you were only up one. Or you were up two after the first nine, right? One or two.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was a big ordeal. You know, it wasn't like you were up five. Yeah. So I think I want to go to the range with Adam, because he has a very baseball swing. So I'd like to see if he just widens that stance a little bit. And he was talking about how he really knows the difference now between iron and driver swings.
I sent him a couple of videos.
Which, I mean, because that's, he gets under his irons, which I don't even know how to do. Like, I couldn't do that if I, like, even Jim does that, like, scoops his irons, where he hits it high and gets no distance. A lot of
wrist action.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just funny, because almost like you're hitting a lob shot with a wedge.
Right.
But they do it with, like, a 7-iron. And he swings hard. You know, but he just so much wrist action, I guess, just gets right under it instead of compressing the ball. He kind of slides under it. But I was really consistent with my drivers. I'm hoping I can, take that. And I actually hit some really nice draws. It was, you know, the hole, it's on the back nine. It's only like 310 yards, but
at Charwood?
No, at Timberlake. So it's like 300 something yards. It's not very far, but the tee box is high and it goes super far down. There's like a pond, and then up to the left is the green. I think the next hole is that downhill par three. So Jim hit his driver with all his might and it landed just past the pond, you know? And so it was about 200 yards to the pond. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to just try and force a draw, because when I wasn't trying to not necessarily force it, but hit that inside to outside path, I was slicing it. And if I focused on that, I maybe would hit a tight little cut. So I was like, all right, let me try that. But that time I put a perfect draw on it and I was like 10 yards from the green. It was just ideal. And it was nice to see that I was actually doing it. I might want to adjust my driver to less closed of a face, because then I don't have to feel like I'm opening my hands as much. It might lead to a little more pushes, but I think if I neutral my driver a little bit, then I have a little more control. You know, if I'm going to hit a cut, I can close the face. If I'm going to hit a little draw, I'll open the face. But if like I hit a stock shot, the face is going to automatically be closed because it's just the way the driver set up. I have to like open it up, and then it makes the driver degree go like another 5 degrees in the air, which isn't bad because I don't hit it very high to begin with. But I mean, you've seen me hit some really high drives when I'm really trying to get under it. So I think if I just neutral it out, I'll be fine. But it's looking like at the end of this year, I'll get fitted.
Nice.
For Malt Bees, I think is their brand.
Malt Bee.
Yeah. It's this club fitter in Lexington, and he's all he does is fit those clubs. And I've hit them before. I love them. I read about them. I hear they're great. They're just a second tier golf brand. You know, they've been out for a while. It's not like they're new. They're just not, they don't have that TaylorMade money.
Right.
But
nobody has that TaylorMade money.
Yeah, nobody. Nobody has. I mean, what is it? Four out of the top five golfers are TaylorMade?
Yeah.
Oh, you saw they just dropped the price on their TP5? I think it's $39. Really? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For X, the TP5 regulars, the Pixies, the Yellows.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is $39, which, I mean, what are the Pro V1s?
$44.99, $45.99. Yeah,
so I mean $5 difference, but they play pretty good. I think they're trying to make.
I wonder if that
means
they're about to drop. Well, I wonder if that means they're about to drop a new ball,
like a more professional, like something that takes the top spot.
Yeah, like something that's gonna a new competitor to the Pro V1s and Bridgestones, Tour Vs, and stuff like that.
You're probably right. I'd be surprised. I mean, I haven't heard anything, and I don't think anybody's played like a prototype ball, right?
Yeah. When did they drop the TB5s? I mean, they've been out for a while, right?
I would think so. Yeah, the Pixies were out for a while when Ricky Fowler was working with them. So
yeah,
it's been out for a while, but it's been getting more and more popular, I think, as TaylorMade's been getting popular there. As people buy their clubs, they start buying the balls. And I like them. I like putting with the Pix balls. You've hit it with your driver.
Yeah, I hit the driver. It felt really nice off of the driver.
Yeah. We need to just break down and get that Hanma six-piece ball.
You know, I had spoke wrong about that. It's not Hanma. It's not. It is Zexio.
Zexio.
And that is I think they're actually owned by Cleveland. And, they are. Hanma is also a very high, you know, priced brand, but Zexio is as well. And, they have the six-piece ball. We need to get that and try it. But, yeah, XXIXO or something like that. I think that's how they spell it.
Interesting.
But, Yeah. So when you get fitted, are you going to get everything? Like, are you going to get a driver as well?
Yeah, yeah. I'll go full set because nice. I think...
Wedges or no?
I'll probably keep my wedges because that's more, I think, a feel. I mean, I'll do whatever he tells me to do. And maybe he'll say, like, my Titleist driver's fine. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't gone yet, but I just know I'm going to go to him because the price difference is so different.
Yeah, it's substantial.
It's substantial enough where it's like, you know, I guess my philosophy is like, whatever brand it is, if it's fitted for me, it's going to work the best for me, right? So, you know, maybe let's say I'll get 5 or 10 yards less of distance than with the brand new Sim Max irons or something, right? Let's just say it's like, but for the price, I mean, plus I'm a longer distance player, so I guess I can afford to lose maybe a little bit of distance and gain more accuracy.
Definitely afford to lose some distance, Cam.
You know, if I can just drop like my nine, if everything just dropped a club, but I gained a ton more accuracy, totally worth it.
Yeah.
That's just because that's my game. Now, for somebody who's accurate but needs more distance, then you're talking. You might need to go for maybe a club made specifically to do that. I don't know.
Right.
But they're gonna get. I'll get fitted, and he'll figure out exactly if I need, you know, cavity back. We went through that whole episode about the type of irons and what they do. So
yeah,
I'm excited to do it. Hopefully I can have it by the end of the year. I'm thinking that's when it'll happen. So it'll be nice too, cause it'll keep me playing through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I think the winter is when everybody slows down. It's just,
no, I love playing in the winter.
I do too.
Especially in Colombia. I would much rather play in the winter than in the summer.
But you would agree that the golf game, I think it just slows down in the winter.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not, the weather isn't as nice. Normally the Masters isn't in the winter. So everybody starts golfing again by once Masters starts, because I think that's when everybody starts watching golf, and then they get the itch back, and then they run through the summer, and then it kind of slows down in the winter.
Right.
And I mean, there's only a couple, like these southern states, as soon as you start going higher, you know, the ground gets too hard to really play.
Sure. Well, speaking of new clubs, I bought a new club.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
I've been needing a 3 hybrid for a long time now. So really, that's my 14th club in the bag to complete everything. And I know that I'm about to get fitted for irons as well, probably within the next few months. And I didn't want, just in case, you know, I'm going to get a 3 iron maybe. I didn't want to spend a bunch of money in a 3 hybrid.
Yeah.
So I was looking on Amazon and I found the Power Built Golf Grand Slam X Speed Hybrid. And it is $50 on Amazon, brand spanking new out of the box.
Yeah, it looked good though.
It looks fantastic looking down on it. And it looks like a regular $150, hybrid that you would get. And I took it before I actually hit balls before I played. Saturday.
Did you really?
I did. I hit maybe 7 balls, I pulled out the hybrid first shot. Beautiful. Riser, slight draw, and it felt like money.
Yeah.
And I hit like 3 and more of those on the range, like 3 in a row just like that. And I was like, wow, I was just shocked. And it played great on the course, and it feels great. And I put one of my mid-sized grips on it, and
it works.
It just it feels fantastic.
That's good.
I probably hit it, 220, 230.
But that is just ideal, because if you're not hitting if you're not hitting your driver great, and the 3-wood's not necessarily doing great for you either, that off the tee is great. And then you're not always stuck hitting a 3-wood like on your second shot on a par 5 necessarily, because you can, I mean, hybrids are great. I mean, they just really are. I have that one 4-iron, which is like 50 years old, that hybrid.
Yeah.
That's the only hybrid I have. So I'm sure using another one, you're adding one to the bag. But you said it was only like, what, $60?
$58.99 on Amazon.
Yeah. 2-day shipping. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Yeah. Can't beat it.
Mm-mm.
And they have more than just, they have 2 hybrids, 3 hybrids, 4 hybrids, and then they have 3-wood, 5-wood, and driver.
I wonder how the driver would be.
I mean, they look really nice. I mean, nice matte black crown,
mm-hmm.
Matte black stiff shaft. Like, it looks nice.
Goals.
Big recommend for anyone who needs a 3-hybrid. Go on Amazon, Power Built Golf, and yeah, it looks nice. They have your choice between regular and stiff flex, and you choose the degree. I'm sorry, they don't even have, it's not even 2, 3, 4. They actually let you choose what degree you want. So you can get a 19, 22, or a 25.
That's nice. I mean, I think we proved in the Wilson podcast that just because it's not Titleist, TaylorMade,
yeah,
does not mean that it's not going to be good. You know, they obviously have their advantages, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that a cheap club isn't going to play well. My dad used that Exotic. And that mm-hmm. was one of the best clubs in his bag. And it was like a Torrid, Walmart club.
Yeah, Torrid Exotic.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that people still, that they're still out there, is because the clubs work, you know? I mean, a lot of it has to do with you. But,
right.
I mean, if it feels comfortable and you have confidence in it, you're still going to hit it. I mean, so try out, like you said, if you want to add clubs to your bag, you don't want to buy a brand new high-end club, try those other ones and use those to death. I mean, that's what I would do. That's why I'm thinking about, if I'm going to go get fitted, I'm going to try this other brand because it's going to save me at least $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have a full set that are fitted to me. So what's, you know, the only difference is that you look at the bag, it doesn't have one of the top 3 brands on it, but it has a top 10 brand. So it just depends on your, what really matters to you.
Yeah. So while you were camping, I was looking at some averages. I love looking at averages.
Yeah.
And I was looking at average distance for, you know, the average Joe golfer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember this. You sent it like right when I was heading up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was shocked by the numbers. So, all you golfers out there, if y'all are feeling bad about, oh man, I'm only hitting my driver 240, 250 yards and blah, 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 and you feel like you need to swing harder, stop doing that.
Yep.
Don't swing any harder. It's not going to help you. Swing your swing, and it's not even about how hard you swing. It's about the rotation and lag and all that. And I'm not even going to get started on that, but I am going to read some yardages. So the average distance for male golfers, for the mid hitters, a driver is coming at about 225, 230.
It's outrageous, honestly. But it's true. And that's
what
just
shocked me is the 7-iron. Let's go to the mid. 7-iron mid hitter, 140 yards.
7-iron.
I mean, and it's funny that I read this because I've been a little frustrated with my yardages, with my irons, and I'm hitting them a little shorter. But, you know, when I say I'm hitting them a little shorter, I'm saying I'm hitting my 7-iron like 165 yards, you know. And let's see, 165 yards for a mid hitter would be a 4-iron.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot lower than I thought. I did not think that the average length for average players were, you know, in that range. Even long hitters on average, 4-irons going 165. And that's fine, but for the golfers who feel like they're they need a swing faster to hit their 4-iron 200 yards. No, you don't. Especially the courses that we're, most of us are playing, they're short courses. I mean, they're, you know, the public courses around here, you know, some of them are long, like, you know, Golden Hills, Oak Hills, those are some longer courses and they're harder, but, you know, you don't need to bomb it every time, and hitting it straight is a lot more important than hitting it far.
I thought that was the more, what I really came away with by seeing this average distance chart, was that we can afford to slow it down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the average distance for a 5-iron for the long hitter was 170. And I'm like, yep. I try to hit it like 200, but I gotta get it. You know, I gotta get it there. And it's almost like I should swing a bit slower and focus more on accuracy and maybe lose 15 yards, but hit a specific shot. And that's still well within reason. You know, there's no reason to drop, you know, to pick a higher club. So I like looking at this because it makes me think that there's really no reason to muscle your clubs. Just if you're a taller person that hits it longer, you don't have to muscle it further to gain that distance, because mm-hmm. the courses are set up that way. Now, if you're playing from the tips, then that's a different story. But yeah. when you're playing from the mid or the forward tees, there's really no play the accuracy game. Put it in the fairway, then put it in the center of the green. You know, who cares if you club two up for that? You know, I mean, there's no points for getting it there using shorter clubs. Just that maybe it makes you feel better. But if it were me, I'd rather hit a higher club and hit the center of the green than do so with, you know, two clubs down, really muscling it, and just like putting too much of cut spin on it because I was trying to hit it too hard.
Right.
But I think that's a big thing too, is the harder people hit, the less consistent they are. And not necessarily consistent as well as the fact that they end up putting too much side spin on the ball, because their shoulders or their arms, something is moving too fast that the rest of the body isn't connecting with. Now, occasionally, I mean, me and you, occasionally we'll hit a driver really hard and it works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But more often than not, when I swing it nice and slow and I just play, like, I just want to put it out there, more times than not, that's what I'm doing. When I try to hit as hard as I can, I'll, one time out of 10, it'll actually do what I wanted it to do.
Right.
And yeah, that cost me 50 yards off the driver, but I mean, that's just, what's a couple more clubs to gain that distance back, knowing that I'm in the fairway. I mean, when I wasn't hitting my driver and I was just playing the accuracy game, that was when I was shooting my best golf.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were times where the hole felt long because I had to hit two straight 5-irons, but I wasn't swinging super hard and I was playing consistent. So there should be no unnecessary due attention on trying to gain unnecessary distance, because we're not professionals. Like, we're not Bryson. We don't need, speaking of that, did you see his post?
400
carry, 210 ball speed or something ridiculous. And it seems like that's not even the 48 inch driver.
Oh, it's not.
No.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, he put on there that Jeez. It wasn't, that he hasn't even put his 48-inch driver in there yet.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. But see, I think that brings up almost false expectations that we have to then catch up to that. It's like
we're But the reason why he's doing this is because the tour is seeing these golfers getting longer and longer, and they're like, okay, well, I guess we're gonna have to push these tees back and make 670-yard par fives,
right?
And you know, we will never play those type of holes.
No, our par fives are like 450,
yeah,
par fives. So it's like you hit something off the tee, even if you only hit 200 yards, it's like then you hit another shot, the same thing, and then you're just a little pitch onto the green in regulation.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people see par fives and they're like reaching two, because they want to gain that advantage. But it's like, if you put two in the fairway and then you're just chipping up, you're in a great position to make a birdie. Par fives are the most ample opportunities to score. But if you try to kill it and get that extra 20 yards, which that's really all it's going to be, 20, 30 yards, you could put yourself in a worse position where you're getting double bogey on a par five when you could have easily birdied it.
Yeah. Guys, stop practicing bombing drives and start practicing chipping.
Yeah.
Just chip as much as you possibly can, because I know what y'all are thinking. Yeah, I want to get it in two so I don't have to chip. I want to just putt for eagle and maybe putt for birdie. You know, no. If you can get it close to the green and then chip and you have a nice short game, you can chip it close and then have a nice putt for birdie and walk off with at worst par. Just stop practicing your driving and hitting it as hard as you can and get around the practice green and chip. Because there's nothing that makes my round go better than when my short game is on.
Yeah. That's what they call recovery. I mean,
yeah.
So if you miss the green in two, if you have a great short game, you can chip close enough to the hole and tap in for par. And, I mean, we do that all the time. That's basically how we get our pars. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not every time where when we hit a par, it's on the green, two nice putts, easy par. It's like, oh, I pulled it a hair, or it's short a little bit. But when you are confident in your short game, which both of us are at the moment, mm-hmm. we've both been playing really good. It's like, I'm confident that I can get it within 3 feet of the hole and then just tap it in basically for par. And it's like, so I'm not necessarily trying to kill it because I just want to put it somewhere on the green. Like when I was playing the Timberlake tournament, I basically clubbed up every time. And I swung very slow for me. Mm-hmm. And, but there were times, I mean, I was putting it just on the green. Like we needed something on the green. That was it. We were off, nothing was on the green. So I just pulled a club up, swung slow, and basically just hit a low stinger every time because mm-hmm. it was basically just letting the club just hit it straight into the ground. And it, but I had so much backspin that as soon as it hit the green, boom, stopped. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, focus on your short game. Like we told when we talked about those questions in the last episode, you know, start from the bottom of your bag. That's where your scoring is going to come. Scoring is going to come from the bottom of your bag, your putter and your wedges. That's where you're going to save a lot of strokes. Now, as you go up and get better at them, that's going to make golf easier. But if you get on the green in two and you can't putt, you're going to have way more three putts. But if you get close to the green and you can up and down, which is one chip, one putt pretty easily, your score is going to be drastically different.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's what it's about. Scoring better. You know, we want to play consistently better. So what ways can you cheat the system, I guess it would be? You know, what ways can I take unnecessary bogeys and turn them into pars? And I think that's your recovery game.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to hit the green. Because if, and that's the thing, if you hit the green in two, most likely you're going to be able to par that. So it's where can I fix my mistakes? Right? That's really how you get better at golf. Because, I mean, there are going to be times where you put on the green and you can par it or you can birdie it, and that's great. But when you bogey and double bogey, where, how can you fix those? Is it that you're not getting off the tee? You know, you're slicing it straight in the woods. Well, then pull a 6-iron. And just hit something straight into the fairway. And then do that again. And get it close to the green. And then up and down for par. And that just saved you 2 strokes. I mean, does it look good on paper necessarily? Or to people around? May not. But when you're counting up your score at the end, and it's the first time that you've shot under an 85, you know, it's worth it. I mean, it's worth it to me. Yeah. I'd rather not have a driver and shoot 5 strokes better than consistently hit bombs, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what the game is, to have a score that is smaller than the last time we played. So, like Dylan is saying, that short iron game, that wedge game is going to mean way more in the end than, you know, can I get 300? Can I hit 320 with my driver? because all of us can do it occasionally, but it's about consistently, how can we get in the fairway to score?
So get on those practice greens, and they don't even have to be nice practice greens. Just practice chipping. Practice chipping in your backyard. You know, go on Amazon, get one of those little, you know, yardage or chipping practice nets, and just in a mat, and practice chipping into those. You know, that's the great thing about chipping, is you can practice it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, get out there, guys, and practice your short game. It's gonna help a lot more than figuring out how to drive a 300. I promise.
Definitely.
So, I guess we will talk to you guys next week.
Yep, that'll do it. We'll come back, and next Sunday we'll talk about the finish to this championship. And each week we get just a little bit closer to Masters. So,
mm-hmm.
Gotta look forward to that. I've seen some of the pictures. The course has gotten really pretty again. They did some nice work to that. So, yeah. We got a little countdown. We'll have to start getting our Masters predictions in.
Yep.
I mean, I'm going to root for Tiger regardless, but I have to think positively. But if I was a betting man, who would I have to go for? And I don't know if Tiger's the right choice, right. But deep down inside, he's probably my choice. But all right, buddy.
All right, guys. I'll see y'all next week.
See ya.